river that flows from my throne room. In that river is healing and grace. And that river is now flowing in this place. Get in the river and let the river get in you. And just sit back and watch what I will do. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I'm getting in the river. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may have this morning. Amen. Well, I want you to go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. You know, this, God is such an awesome orchestrator. And he could not have orchestrated everything. Because I had this series before we started doing these prayers. But everything today is speaking the same thing. And that God's trying to get a message across to us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem, and his parents searched for him for 3 days. And they finally found him in the temple, and this is where we pick up the story in verse 49. And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus had an inclination, he had a call in his heart that he had a part to play in his Father's business. And we've been discussing being about the Father's business this month. And I want to remind you this. This is some things about the Father's business. The Father's business is headquartered in heaven and has many branch offices and franchises in earth. The Father's business has been around since the earth began. The Father's business is a solely owned family business. Being part of the Father's family is being part of his business. The Father's business is the most successful business ever and is still growing today. The Father's business is establishing a kingdom upon the earth. The Father's business involves creativity, communication, proclaiming, preaching, teaching, and publishing. It involves the arts, advertising, demonstration, signs, wonders, and miracles. It involves warfare, leadership, covenant. It involves partnership, agriculture, architecture, construction, athletics, finance, education, organization, distribution, manufacturing, mining, research and development, exploration, and the most important thing, human resources. Amen? You know, God's business is about people. He's in the people business. And the Father's business is a worldwide business. It's a transcontinental, transgenerational, global, and universal business. It's not limited by language or cultural barriers, governments, or borders of countries, and it is time for us to be involved in the Father's business. All right? So let's discuss further about the Father's business. Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Gospel of John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Y'all doing good today? Amen. We're so glad that you're here with us. We can break God's word open together. And in John chapter 4, verse 34. Actually, we better back up to verse 31. This was right after Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore, said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus is fully committed to doing what God wants in this earth, and not only just doing it, but to finish his work. Amen? Every one of us have a lifetime. God's given us one lifetime to do his work in that lifetime. Amen? And then Jesus went on to say this, verse 35, Don't say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. You know, pretty soon, the corn will be harvested, right? We see the big green stalks, but it's not ready to be picked yet. But he's not talking about a natural harvest. He's talking about a spiritual harvest. Don't say there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you entered into their labors. So Jesus is telling us that there is a harvest already before us. All we have to do is look. You saw the skit today, which our leaders did so beautifully. Thank you, Dottie and Nadine. There they were in a normal, everyday life situation, sitting next to one another, and Dottie noticed that Nadine was disturbed about something. And all she did was she struck up a conversation. She looked and she saw that there was a ripe harvest ready for the picking right there. And all they did was strike up a conversation, and then they prayed together. And that's all that we have to do to be involved in this harvest. You know, on your bulletin, you see 4 combines working together to harvest the field. Do you know that God's harvest field is the world? The world is so big that God needs everybody involved in his business. We need to work together to reap in the harvest. You know, could you imagine picking 1,000 acres by hand? How long would that take? You know, thank God that farmers have machines called combines. And they go through the field, and what would take days and weeks takes hours. And guess what, folks? You and I are the combines in God's business. We are the reapers. We are the sowers. We are the machine that God has created in this earth to work together to reap the harvest that is before us. The harvest is not coming, it's here. Amen? Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. You know, the basic thing about doing God's business is just doing what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. You know, it's funny. We've been praying for Palmyra. There's been a group of us that's been praying for Palmyra. And, you know, I told this group that we're going to grow. And all of a sudden, God puts this idea in my heart to bring a cross. And at first, I was a little reluctant to bring the cross. But I knew that that's what God wanted. And it was amazing yesterday. Nelson would hold that cross when we would talk to people. And everybody that drove by, this is what they did. They're looking at that cross like, but I told the guys, we need a white cross. It's because we have a white cross out front. You know, that'll click with people's minds. All right, John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Let me tell you, folks, you were born not to do your own will. Not to do what you want to do, go where you want to go, or be what you want to be. Listen, if you want to make a difference in this world, do what the Father wants you to do. Be what the Father wants you to be. Go where the Father wants you to go. Amen? Let's do his will. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which He has sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How are the people going to see the Son? Where are they going to see the Son? Is he going to appear? I got some inside information for you. People are going to see the Son in you. You have to be the Son to people. In your neighborhoods, in your schools, on your jobs. You have to be the Son to people. You have to speak like Jesus spoke. You have to live like Jesus lived. You have to touch like Jesus touched. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in you if you're born again. If you've made Jesus your Savior, he's living in you by his Holy Spirit. Did you know that we are all ambassadors for God? God commissioned us from heaven to be ambassadors in this earth. You know, this earth, we're just passing through. This is not our home. This is not our final destination. This is our workplace. And we've got to work the Father's business. And the Father's business, it's multifaceted. It's diverse. He's in the healing business. He's in the saving business. He's in the delivering business. He's in the helping business. He's in the finding your purpose business. He's in the breaking chains business. He's in the open prison business. That's the kind of business that he's in. And he has employed us. And if you work for God, he will pay you. Amen? The Bible says a laborer is worthy of his hire. Hallelujah. So, doing God's will is very important. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Nelson quoted it. But let's go there and see it. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 37 and 38. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous or plentiful, but the laborers are what? Uh-oh. There's something wrong. The harvest is so big, but there's not enough laborers. What does that mean, that there's not enough laborers? That means it takes a whole lot longer. That means it's a lot harder to bring in the harvest. You know, when people don't show up for work, it makes other people work harder, right? I know some of us have copped an attitude when at work and so-and-so didn't show up. Well, so-and-so didn't show up. That means I got to do their work. Oh, yeah, we've all been there. You know, one time back in Illinois, we were playing in a church softball league. And I had a friend who would go to church, and then after church, when church was done, he would go to the bar and drink. And he was on the church softball team. And we had a game one night, and we were one player short, and we had to forfeit the game. And guess who the player was that was short? It was my friend. Now, at that time, he didn't have his license because he lost his license, and he had to ride his bicycle. So I stayed out in front of his house until 2 o'clock in the morning. And he kept driving around, and he saw my car parked, but he would not come near me. But, you know, I'm persistent. And finally, he came up. He said, what's going on? I said, look, I said, a relationship is two ways. I said, you need to start getting your life right with God. I said, you're my friend, but I don't appreciate what you're doing. And you know what? It wasn't too long after that that he stopped drinking. He made the decision to quit drinking on his birthday, and guess what? He ended up going to Rhema. He ended up graduating, and his father, who was also an alcoholic, got to see his son graduate, and it was a glorious thing. But see, God turned it around. But he was short for our team, and we had to forfeit the game, and I don't like forfeiting. I at least like to play you know, and if we lose fiber, I just like to play. But we couldn't play because we were one man short. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So the Lord tells us, how should we pray for the lost? Pray for laborers. And guess what? If you pray for laborers, be willing to be one. Because God may say, hey, I want you to get in the game. You've been sitting on the bench for years. It's time for you to get in the game. You know, when someone who hasn't played for a long time, then they have to get into the game at a critical moment. They're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Let's not get to that moment, all right? Let's get in the game now. The labor, the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of work to be done. But the laborers are few. Don't be the few. Amen? Be a laborer for God and get involved in His business. He's got a business. Let's be passionate as Jesus was about His business. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. This is the manufacturing part of God's business. Did you know that God is in the making business? He wants to make something out of people. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke unto them. Say this, say, He's speaking to me. So I want you to picture Jesus talking to you right now. He's saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. How much power? Who has all the power? Jesus does. Are you on Jesus' side? Then all the power is on your side. Amen? Okay. Then what do we do with this power? Jesus said to His disciples, He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He is in the business of making disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is not someone who gets born again and that's it. God is not in the business of making converts. He doesn't want just converts. He wants disciples. He wants a follower. He wants a pupil. He wants one, a person whom He can teach His way and His kingdom to. Someone that will start with God and walk with God and continue walking with God until they leave this earth. God is in the business of making disciples. He had 12 disciples. Then He had 70. Then they grew to 120. Then they grew to 3,120, and we're still growing today. And guess what? There's room on the discipleship. What's the term for a sports? The roster. Roster. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that word to me. There's still room on the roster. Listen, God is not limited as to how many disciples can be on His team. Hallelujah. So there's room for you. There's a place for you. There's an assignment for you. There's a job for you. There's a task for you. So let's be about the Father's business. Amen? So what does a disciple do? A disciple, the men got a good dose of this yesterday. A disciple denies himself. A disciple picks up his cross, and a disciple follows Jesus. Well, what's my cross? You mean I got to carry two wooden beams with me wherever I go? No, your cross is your assignment. Your cross is your purpose. Your cross is whatever God calls you to do, however God wants you to serve. That's your cross. You've got to embrace your cross. You've got to carry your cross. You've got to carry your cross out. But in order to do that, you got to deny yourself. Uh-oh. That's where the hard part is. I thought this Christian stuff was easy until the Lord said I had to deny myself. You know, God wants to move into a person's heart, But do you know that sometimes people have to make room for Jesus? Some people's hearts are so cluttered with junk. And really, the junk that we clutter our hearts with have no eternal value. Many times we clutter our lives with just temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny. That means, what does that mean? When Jesus calls, you listen. Jesus was walking along the beach. I like Jesus. He had a beach ministry. Jesus was cool. And he saw some fishermen. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Did the fishermen call a board meeting and say, look, guys, this guy's calling us to do something different. You know, should we take a vote? I mean, by the time they would have made that decision, Jesus would have been far down the road. My point is this. When Jesus said, come follow me, to the fishermen, you know what they did with their nets? They laid their net down right then. They listened to that call. Why? Something in their heart resonated with what he was saying. They were willing to give up fishermen their livelihood, their income. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to make you rich, to them right in that moment, but the Bible does promise us to, you know, that. Say, rich is a good word. You know, many believers in the Bible were rich. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jehoshaphat, David, Hezekiah. You know? Well, what about Jesus? He didn't have a place to lay his head. How many poor people do you know have a treasurer? You know, if you're poor, you don't need a treasurer. Anyway, that's just a side note. Won't charge anything extra for it. Jesus gave them an opportunity to become a disciple. Now, he did not force them. Jesus did not say, if you guys don't follow me, trouble's going to loom over you. No, he simply said, follow me. You ever notice anything about Jesus? Jesus doesn't beg. When Jesus wants you to do something, he will ask you, but if you refuse, he's not going to beg you. He's given you an opportunity to follow him, and he's going to keep moving. You know, like Pastor Fiona. You know, she would not deter from her plans no matter what. And she knew that she was going to marry me long before I did. It took me a long time to get a clue. I mean, some men relate. And I was kind of like an anchor in a boat that's dragging, you know. The boat's moving, but the anchor's dragging. The anchor's not stopping the boat, but it kind of slows down. And before Pastor Fiona and I got together, I would just call her every once in a while, just enough to keep the interest, you know. And she was every time she would be moving on with her life, she wouldn't wait for me. She knew that she was supposed to marry me, but if I didn't have a clue, she wasn't going to stop her life. She wasn't going to put it on hold. She kept following God. I admire her for that. But thank God, God worked it out. Amen. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd have been much more miserable. But I'm so happy. Amen. My point is this. As a disciple, when the Lord calls, you got to obey. When the Lord says, you have to obey. You cannot delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience in most cases. Well, I can, you know, some of us that we're professionals at procrastinating, we're called procrastinators. You know, I can get to it tomorrow. No, tomorrow may not come. When the Lord calls, faith is right now. But God is into making disciples. And a disciple denies themselves, takes up their cross, and follows him. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, you spend your life walking in the light, not in darkness. You don't do things to deceive. There are no cover-ups. Because do you realize the sins and the things that we try to cover up, God does not bless. But light, what does light do? Light exposes things. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't hide. He was open before everyone to see. And that's how we need to live. As a disciple, we need to live in the light. We need to walk in the light because Jesus is the light. And who operates in darkness? The devil. Did you know that God brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and he put us into the kingdom of light? Thank God that God opened up our hearts and turned the light on. And you don't have to change the bulb and you never run out of power. Amen? But as a disciple is someone who denies themselves, follows after Jesus. A disciple is someone who walks in the light. They live an open book. What a disciple is here, a disciple is here, a disciple is here. They're no different. I'm not one person in the pulpit and another person at home. What you see is what you get. Amen? All right, go to John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, everybody say if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So a disciple is one who continues in the word. Oh yeah, I was in the word 20 years ago. Well, what about the last 20 years? No, you're still... Listen, if you want to eat stale bread, go ahead. But fresh bread is a whole lot better, isn't it? Some people try to live on stale manna. They try to live on a word that God spoke to them 10 years ago, and there hasn't been anything fresh, anything new. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people who look for a word of God. I'll give you one right here. You can get a fresh word from God every day right here. Jesus said, you are my disciples indeed if you continue in where? In my word. You know, a lot of people start great, but they end up horrible. It's not how you start that matters. It's how you end that matters, right? The checkered flag is not at the beginning. It's at the end. And as a believer in Christ Jesus, as a disciple, see, Jesus is in the business of making disciples. So I'm telling us a little bit about what a disciple is. He describes the life as a walk, one day at a time. The Christian life is a walk. Every day, 365 days a year, we get up, and we have the opportunity to continue in his word. How long should I continue in his word? Notice he doesn't give a stopping point. How long should I continue? As long as until you leave this earth. You started a relationship with God, now you got to keep it going. It's not automatic. It's not like one of those automatic sidewalks you encounter in the airport. You know, it's the conveyor belt, and when you walk on it, it's like you're faster than you're running. But it gets you to the point quicker. That's not how it is. You've got to continue in the word every day. If you want to be a disciple, then that's a requirement. Jesus said this. And what's going to happen if you continue in the word? Verse 32, you shall know it, and the truth shall set you free. Do you realize the more you continue in the word, the more you know, and the more free you become? Hallelujah. There's benefits to discipleship. You've got to abide in him. John, go to John chapter 10. Listen, John got some revelation about discipleship. John was considered the disciple whom Jesus loved, because at the Last Supper, we see John leaning up against Jesus' bosom. John was the one who wrote Revelation. John had that revelation given to him. Go to verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Another quality of a disciple is they hear God's voice. Did you know that God's got a voice? Are you able to recognize his voice above any other voice? You know, if you were in a crowded room and Jesus spoke to you, would you recognize his voice? Would you be able to pick out his voice above other voices? His sheep know his voice. You ever see when a dog hears something? What? When a dog hears something, they're like, their ears go up like this, right? And, or, you know, but they're like, wait, I hear something. They can hear things. We need to be that way. When God speaks, we need to go, oh, God's speaking. Okay, Lord, you need to stop, drop, and listen when God speaks. And here's the thing, God has many ways to speak. He's the best communicator ever. And he knows how to communicate to you. So a disciple denies themselves, they walk in the light, they abide in him, they hear his voice, and go with me to John 15. John 15. Let's look at verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear a little fruit. He didn't say that? He didn't say a little dabble, do you? Oh, no, that's brill cream. That's not the Word of God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Discipleship is marked by bearing much fruit. What's fruit? Fruit is the things that you do for God and his kingdom. When we were out witnessing, we were bearing fruit. How does a fruit tree start? It starts with a seed. That seed gets planted in ground. It begins to grow. And as it grows, it will produce fruit in different seasons. We were out planting an orchard yesterday. Now, it may take some time for that orchard to grow, but we're going to keep planting, and we're going to water the seeds that we plant, because that's what the Father's business is about. I must be about my Father's business. Can we say that with the same attitude that Jesus says it with? I must be about my Father's business. When you have an option and you have the Father's business, that's when the rubber meets the road. But a true disciple will bear how much fruit? Much fruit. Say, I'm fruitful. You know, you can bear fruit in your own character. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Some of us may need to cultivate the long-suffering. It's been left undone. What does it mean to long suffer? You get around people that annoy you and you can't do anything about it. You just got to put up with it with joy. He didn't say, listen, suffering short is not a fruit. That's not a fruit in God's garden. Long suffering. Why did you put long in front of there, God? Listen, how many things can you do through Christ? That means you can suffer long through Christ, can't you? So the fruit that we need to bear it in our own character, how we deal with people, And we need to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And it's just simply by listening to what God says and doing what he says. That's how it's really easy to bear fruit. God didn't make it hard. Why? God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to increase. Do you realize that we have influence with people? Why? We have light. We have truth. We have power. Those things were given to us by God, and we can use them to influence people. Then the disciples then carried on what Jesus began. I mean, they tore it up in the book of Acts. They whole cities would have the fear of God because of what the disciples did. Because they weren't ashamed of the gospel. Even when they were arrested and brought before the officials and they said, "Don't preach in the resurrection anymore." Peter said, "Are we going to obey God or man?" The authorities told them not to preach. You know what they did? They preached about the resurrection. "You're going to get arrested. Arrest me, then I'll have a prison ministry. Praise God." We limit God so much by our can'ts and our won'ts. "I can't do this. I won't do this." God will say, "Fine. I'll find someone else who will." He won't. The rich young ruler. He had the same opportunity as Peter, James, and John and Andrew to become a disciple. He said, "What do I need to do to be saved? Keep the commandments." "Oh, I've done that." "Whew. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the heart of the matter." I'm paraphrasing. "Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me." "Oh, I can't do that. I love my stuff too much." Can't take your stuff with you. You might as well use your stuff now. "I can't go with you, Jesus. I love my stuff too much." The Bible says that ruler walked away sorrowful because he was unwilling to be a disciple. Not everybody's going to be a disciple. Discipleship is not for everybody. God's not into building his kingdom with wimps. People who won't stand up for him, people who are easily compromised, people who are people who waver. You know, the Bible says man who wavers is not going to get anything from God. But we limit God so much. You know, at least when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, he told his disciples, he said, "You feed them." I could just imagine the looks that they got. He wants us to feed them. One disciple said, well, we got this much money. We can go into town and buy this money, but that's not enough. But then Andrew said, "Hey, we got a little boy. You know what? Let's be like Andrew, and let's take the little that we have and see how God can use it." He said, "There's a little boy here with a 2-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's. Oh, yes, I can use that. Bring him to me." See, Andrew, even though he knew that he was insufficient within himself, he found what he had, even though it was a little. He took the little that he had and he brought it to Jesus, and Jesus then multiplied it and fed 5,000 men. Not counting women and children, there's probably 10, 15,000 people there. The Giant Center Plus. Jesus fed the Giant Center Plus because someone found a little that they didn't know how it could be used, but they found a little and they presented it to Jesus. You know what? When you be about God's business, take your little and present it to him. When you present little to him, little becomes much. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Is this okay for you this morning? Is this helping you? You know what? I'm going to start with verse 18 because it just tells the story that I just told you. Matthew 4, 18, and we're going to read through 25. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, that word is immediately, left their nets and followed him. Now, God's not telling you to quit your job tomorrow and follow him unless he says that to you. Okay? Don't go out and say, well, Pastor Doug told me to quit my job. I did not tell you to quit your job. I'm not the Lord. So don't do it because someone else did it. Do it because the Lord speaks to you. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending the nets. And he called to them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about Galilee, all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had bad palsy, and he healed them. Everybody say, he healed them. What's God's will about sickness? Healing. That's God's will about sickness. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So what am I saying? God's business is about communicating good news. Jesus did three primary things in his ministry. Jesus taught, Jesus preached, and Jesus healed. And he did that everywhere. He went about all of Palmyra, teaching in churches like VCF, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all who were sick. He went about, he's interested in getting out his good news. And he wants every one of us to be newspaper people. We are the Good News Gazette delivery people. Hear ye, good news is you for you today. We have the privilege of hooking up with Jesus and resonating the good news that he came to share with us. We can, everywhere we go, we are good news containers, and we can share good news with people. Not bad news, people get enough of bad news. Let's share some good news. What's some good news? Did you know that you're forgiven? Did you know that you can be healed? Did you know that God is real? Did you know that God loves you? That's good news. Everybody say good news. God is the promoter of good news, not bad news, good news. That's what the gospel is, and gospel means good news. And sometimes you have to go and spell it out, gospel. You got to go spell it out to people because there are a lot of people that don't know the good news. And he needs us to participate. Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also. Let's go to John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6 again. And let's look at verse 28, John 6, 28. How many here, by the show of your hands, Jesus is your Savior and you're born again? Raise your hand. All right? Every one of us has a story. We've all been saved from death. Doesn't matter what your testimony is. Every one of us have been saved by death. You have something to tell that people need. You have something to show that people can benefit from. Everybody, lift up your hands. Say, these hands are holy hands. I can lay these hands on sick people, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, the Bible said in Mark 16, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say preachers, it said believers. If you're a believer, you can lay hands on people and pray for them and God will heal them. Just offer it. How many has ever offered people a lifesaver? Would you like a lifesaver? Would you like a mint? Would you like a gum? Would you like some Jesus? Offering Jesus to people is as easy as offering a lifesaver. It's not that hard. It's not rocket sciences. It's easy. Why did God make it so easy? Because he wants, listen, what God has got going on is so good. He wants everybody involved. That's why he makes it so easy. That way, if it's easy, no one can be left out. Everybody can be included. John chapter 6. Verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You ever ask that question? What do I need to do to work the works of God? Did you know that God has some works? Jesus did works. Did you know that the works that Jesus did prove that he's the Son of God? Things that he did? Okay. What do I need to do the works of God? This is so awesome. This is so simple. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom the Father has sent. If you want to work the works of God, it's going to be done by faith. All you have to do is believe in him. And just a simple faith in God equips you to do his works. I want to work the works of God. You know, in the early church, people who got born again, it seemed like they were often excluded from their families because the early church was feeding them, right? They had a good feeding program. But the apostles were also trying to teach and preach and wait on tables. So they came to the realization, they said, you know what? We can't wait on tables and do what we need to do. So we need you to choose out men who are full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, that we can appoint over this business. And they chose seven waiters, right? And one of those waiters was Stephen. And while Stephen was waiting on tables, did you know that he was performing miracles, doing signs and wonders? Oh, yes, would you like some more coffee? Would you like a side of healing with that to go, please? Would you like some grace on the side of that? Read Acts 6. He did miracles as a waiter. He was helping people make sure that they got their needs met in being fed, and he's doing miracles. That tells me that no matter what we do, wherever we are, we can do miracles. Amen? Besides, it's not us doing the miracle. We're just the avenue by which the miracle comes down. Jesus does the miracle, but how many know, I believe, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe that Stephen took some time and prayed for people while he was waiting on tables, while he was serving them. And when people argued with Stephen, they couldn't even argue against him because the Spirit on him was so strong, and they got frustrated. They ended up killing him. But you talk about crossing the finish line when you see Jesus standing at the throne of God. And then, you know, Stephen said, Father, forgive them. Don't lay this charge to their account. Did you know that those words ministered to who will be the Apostle Paul? In his last breath, Stephen said those words. And Paul, who was holding the coats of the people stoning him, heard those words. You think that those words that Paul heard when Peter said the same words basically that Jesus did on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, you think those words that Paul heard had any inclination on him being led to the Lord? Absolutely. So even in his dying breath, Stephen was witnessing to people. He witnessed with his death and his life. Is that not awesome? You talk about being about the Father's business. The Father has a business, and he wants us to be a part of it. And all it does is it takes faith to operate the Father's business. If Jesus was taking an application for a position of employment, he would ask one question: do you believe in me? Yes, okay, then you are qualified to work for me. He doesn't do a background check because he knows your background anyway. He knows everything about you. He only asks one question: do you believe in me? If the answer is yes, then you are qualified to work for Jesus. You don't have to be educated, although God's not against education. But you know what? He used a lot of people that weren't educated. Remember what they said about Peter and John? How could these unlearned and ignorant men do these things? They recognized that they had been with Jesus. All you got to do is have faith and be with Jesus, and you can work for God. Amen. And God, listen, working for God will give you the greatest joy that you will ever experience in your life. There's no joy that can compare working for God. And while you're working, wherever you're working now, you remember, when you go to work tomorrow, you're being Jesus to your coworkers. You're bearing fruit in your character to those coworkers. They need to see, they need to hear, they need to know that you've been with Jesus. So before you go to work tomorrow, take a little time and spend some time with Jesus. And let the aroma of Jesus get on you. Oh, is that a new cologne you're wearing? Oh, it's Jesus. Well, that smells good. Where can I get some? You know what? Even if you're at work and you're in the break room and all you do is this. They're going to say, what are you on? Well, let me tell you. HG and JC. Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. No, but that's a little radical, but you know what I'm saying. It doesn't take a lot to witness for Jesus. You don't have to go to witnessing school. You don't have to get a degree. You know, all you got to do is love Jesus and be with. Listen, when you love something, it is not difficult to share it with others. How many has ever shared a good experience at a restaurant with someone else? You know, you had a good experience. Oh, you got to try this place. Well, same. You can apply the same thing to Jesus. But you don't try Jesus. And then finally, God's business is to let the world know that the Father loves him. God's business is communicating his love to people. People need to see that God loves them. You know, there's a lot of people who don't feel loved in this world. There's a lot of people who are looking for love in all the wrong places. And because they can't find true love, they've experienced hurt, heartache, brokenness, and they just need some people to show them the Father's love. You know, the Bible says that God shed his love abroad in our hearts. So we have access to the unlimited capacity of God's love. And anytime that we choose to release that love, God will show up because God is love. Amen? So I want to encourage all of us today, let's be about the Father's business. Amen? Now, the Father's business is about helping people. And the way that God helps people is through the anointing. It's the yoke-destroying, burden-removing, power of God. And maybe you need some anointing in your life. Maybe you're struggling with something, and maybe you just need prayer. You need hands laid on you. We're a church that we believe in laying hands on people. I know that that's not, that I know for a fact that doesn't occur in a lot of churches, but it occurs here. And we give every service, we give an opportunity for you to receive from God's power. Amen. If you're here today and you have a need in your life, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, emotional, God is able to meet all those needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And if you need prayer for something today, we would love the opportunity to pray for you. And I'm going to invite you, if you need prayer, I want you just to come on up right here, and we're going to pray for you. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to touch you like only he can. Amen? Because I believe that it's more than just preaching the word, but it's the demonstration of the Holy Spirit that really makes the difference in a person's life. So if you're here today and you need prayer, I just would invite you to come up and just to receive from God. Amen? Hallelujah. God is a good God, and he distributes good things. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, I'm going to give you an opportunity as people are coming. Hallelujah. Those sitting down, I just want you to be in an attitude of prayer for just a few minutes. Let's believe God together that God's going to touch these folks that come. Amen. It takes a lot of courage to come, but You won't leave disappointed, I guarantee it. Amen? You won't leave disappointed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, today was a divine appointment for you. Things don't happen by coincidence. God works by design. And he brought you here because he wants to do something in your lives and in your hearts. I could just put your hands. You can hold hands. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray for this couple, for Jim and Tanya right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to touch them with your power. Fill them with your love. Lord, just lift them up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, whatever they need in their life, I don't need to know, but you do. And I release your power right now and your anointing in the name of Jesus to do what needs to be done. Lord, I thank you for your power and your grace and your goodness. Father, just fill them, strengthen them with might in their inner man by the Holy Ghost. Touch their hearts, Father, heal their hurts and their wounds in the name of Jesus. Let them know you are very present right now. Breathe on them fresh, Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Fill them full with your goodness right now in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, it's like blanket coming on you when you're cold. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just release your power right now. In Jesus' name. Father, touch her right now in the name of Jesus from her head to her toe. Take care of everything. It's all in God's hands in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you thanks and praise right now for your work to take place in his life. Work mightily in him. In the name of Jesus, strengthen and heal and correct. In Jesus' name. Yep. Wind's about to pick up in the sailboat. Ha-ha. The Holy Ghost is blowing and moving and doing great and mighty. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Father. I give you thanks and praise. We release the anointing of God. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for her healthy, anointed husband, that when he goes home, he's going to lay hands on her. And these hands are going to bring about healing in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you've already sent your word and you're already working in her body. And we give you thanks and praise that they're lifted up and all is well. In Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now for a new and fresh anointing to come on him, Father, an anointing to kill giants and to overcome trials and tests in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now. Unleash the anointing of the giant killer in the name of Jesus. Let the mighty warrior come forth right now in power and authority and grace in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabbi Sitiya. Sing with me.